Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to Windy City Queer Cast, show number 463. I'm Amy Matheny, and I am joined again by
Scott Duff.
Scott Duff, you're becoming a fixture, Scott Duff.
I am, and I'm enjoying it.
I think we just may declare you a new Windy City Queer Cast co-host.
I love that.
You are, Mitchell Fain is going to grab the baton back from you, and Steven Rader is flinging himself into the mix next week. But
I will cut him.
I think
I'll cut him. I will cut a bitch. Don't even try. Muscle in. This is my space.
It's true. I'm enjoying having you here, and I guess you're actually, you know, for people who don't know, Scott and I have known each other for a really long time.
Yes.
The first time I ever saw Scott Duff, he was wearing a pink dress, and he was on stage in an About Face theater, very early show called Cloud Nine.
Yes, and that was awesome.
You were amazing.
I was
you
really
played
good.
A little girl and a black man, and
I
let me
did,
just say that Scott
play.
Duff is very pale and not black. And but let me just say, like, I didn't meet you for many years after seeing that performance. That's just when I first became into my consciousness.
Yes, yes.
As you know, Maya Angelou or Marianne Williamson
yes, exactly.
You came into consciousness. And I was like, wow, he is really fucking talented.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
thank
he
you.
Is not only very funny, but scary as this native.
As a Nigerian man. Yes.
And then we went on to you performing in a number of About Face shows with me, Xena Live being
Xena,
one.
That's where
many
we really
the,
met.
That's when we became really good friends. And then we worked kind of in the restaurant biz for
yeah.
a little while together. You now are in partnership with my long-term high school college boyfriend, who obviously is gay. And now you've been in a relationship with Jerry for...
8 years.
8 years.
8 years.
So, like, our little paths have just... They're just like a little rope.
It
they're
is.
Just...
It's like... It's a rich tapestry, as I like to call it. A very rich tapestry.
And Jerry... lived in Memphis, so as soon as you guys met here, you whisked off to the South.
Yeah, I became a lesbian.
You became a lesbian?
I was like, hey, all right, let's
you
live
did.
Together.
You did, I filled up that U-Haul.
I know, you did.
I was
did.
One of the people lugging boxes.
You did lug, take me, I can't talk, coffee.
Wow. This yeah. is brought to you by Starbucks.
It really is, who supports gay marriage, so
there
that's why
go.
I support Starbucks.
Cheers.
Chin to you, Starbucks.
So, but now you're coming back, because
yes.
you miss us.
Yes, I miss Chicago. I miss gay people. I
yeah.
really do. I
Tennessee
really do.
Has a lot of gay people. We just normally farm out.
No, yeah, well, they do, but it's also really still on the down low. It's very, very strange. And the people that you meet that are gay are, at least for gay men, they're either like, they open up their mouth and a purse falls out.
Yeah.
Or they're in
which
the,
is which is definitely a neat little trick.
It is a fun trick, yes. Or
fun
they're
at
like,
parties.
Or they're at the Y cruising you in the shower with weird
ooh,
like.
I've been to that Y.
Yeah, it's
not in the shower.
Not
though.
In the shower though. Not
no,
in the
I'm
men's
a lesbian,
shower.
So
yeah,
I just ran the
so
track.
Anyway, but it's so great to be back and where there's actually like a community.
Yeah.
So that's what I really, really, really missed.
And you've been popping back up, you know, a lot since the fall, kind of getting your legs, and you're a performer. You're also a chef. You have this amazing blog, which we've talked about, the Improvised Chef.
Yes, and now, actually, it's official. I am, I'm me, the person from the Midwest who I believe that the pig is a holy sacred thing.
Yes.
And cut me, I bleed Velveeta.
Yes.
I am now the official chef for Meatless Mondays.
Oh, dear heavens.
I know.
You have been doing some vegan.
I've been doing some vegan stuff. I've been dipping back into my lesbian roots and eating some twigs and berries.
You are a good lesbian.
I'm a really good
lesbian. You're much better than me.
I have to perfect my salsa recipe, though.
Oh, right.
There is something, universal truths about lesbians. They all have bad knees, and they all love salsa.
They do.
It's
my first girlfriend, who you know, used to always say that the success of a lesbian bar would be absolutely assured if they would just serve chips and salsa at the bar.
And I agree.
For free.
For free.
Because they would sit there and drink beer all night long, or vodka or whatever.
Yeah, and talk about sports.
And do whatever.
And folk music.
Yeah, I don't talk about either. we'll talk about what I talk about here in the next segment. But so you've been... You know Chicago well. You know, when I moved here, I didn't know Chicago well. I've been here so long now, but I remember walking around different neighborhoods, and finally when I hit Lakeview, and this was before Lakeview was even as much as it is now, but it was in the 90s, folks, youngins who were born in the 80s listening to this. But I just remember like seeing Unabridged Books and a place called like U.S. Mail or something like that, and going, I could live here. You know, my dad was like, well, don't you want to live near DePaul? Don't you want to go live near all the college students? I was like,
no,
I want to live by U.S. Mail and Unabridged Books.
Yes.
This is where I want to live. So, so what are you doing? You're looking to rent?
Well, right now we're going to be buying a place, but we have to settle some things up first. So we're going to have to rent for a little bit because I'm popping up. I've been auditioning, and some things have been successful, and some things have not.
Can you talk about any of the things? Can you talk about
ish?
Have a new endeavor.
I have two new endeavors. I have an online endeavor.
Which you can talk about.
I guess
that.
I can.
It's
with,
on Facebook.
With Gay Chicago TV.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. It's a project called Shelter City.
Yes.
And it's their first going into like web their foray series. Into like a web series.
Mm-hmm. And you're the lead.
And I'm the lead, which is crazy.
It's not crazy.
No, but it is crazy.
They are lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. But it'll be crazy. And all I know right now is, because it's kind of super secret, is that I'm a closeted man working for the Republican Party.
Ooh.
Yes. So...
Some of my best friends are Republicans. We can maybe talk to them.
I don't know.
Well, the two of them.
I just don't understand it.
I don't either.
I don't either. It's weird.
We need to find a gay Republican. I need to have them on the podcast soon.
Yeah, I'm friends with a gay Republican.
Okay, hook me up.
Okay.
We're going to do that show.
Yeah.
So you've got
that. So I'm up here and I'm trying to find a place.
And you're auditioning a lot. You're having lots of callbacks. You've got something you can't talk about yet, but you'll be able to talk about it soon.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the economy's been in the shitter, and everybody's house has like a for sale sign in front of it. So it seems like a lot of people are renting right now. Is it a hard time, do you think, to rent in the neighborhoods that you want?
Yeah.
Kind of some of the things that you want about living in Chicago versus living in a town like Memphis, which is a big city, but it's not a city.
It's not a city. It's a big town. Well, the thing about Chicago, you know, I think part of the thing that's hard for me is that I do know it so well, and I have ideas of where I want to live. And a lot of the places that used to be available as apartments when I lived here before are now condos.
Right.
So
some of them may go back to apartments. I don't know if you can do that.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
But it's been kind of tricky, but especially because I've got this weight of Jerry's never lived in Chicago before.
Right.
So I'm trying to find the perfect Chicago apartment.
It will never be the perfect
Chicago apartment. I know.
But it's the perfect city, and he's going to love it, and he's going to love the people.
I know.
He's not going to care as long as he's warm and has a you next to him lying in some clean or slightly dirty sheets.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
And your Buster dog.
And the Buster dog.
The dog's important, but the dog also has my dog, too.
Yes.
Be friends with me.
We've got
maybe.
Lots of friends, yes.
Yes.
Lots of dog friends.
So you're just pounding the pavement.
So I'm pounding the pavement. I'm meeting with somebody tomorrow, which hopefully will get something good.
Yeah.
Because today was really disheartening.
Yeah. So if you have a potential apartment in Edgewater, Uptown, Andersonville, Rogers Parky type neighborhood, Lakeview even maybe.
Yeah.
Then you can post it on our show notes, and our editor will make sure...
Oh, please, Scott gets it. Oh, please.
Because he'd be great tennis. They're great, great tennis.
Yes. And we're cute.
And you're cute. And you're gay.
And we're gay.
Gay. So you have been popping up, and I know that we're not going to talk about theater much today, but we are going to, I do want to hear you talk a little bit about Camino Real, which is the Goodman Theater's Tennessee Williams play that supposedly they had this director who, you know, people say just tries to provoke and tries to shock, and they put it on the main stage at the Goodman.
Yeah, and you know what? To the Goodman,
balls out,
I say thank you, Goodman.
50 people walking out a night, average.
I know.
50, it's, not 15, so, 50.
I know, and it's so brilliant.
It's brilliant,
It's brilliant, because it's kind of the, and they do not go gentle into that good night.
No.
They are leaving, offended. And they are mad. And
what are they offended at? I didn't get to see it, and I won't get to it, because okay, Enron doesn't close till April 15th. So if you'd like to see it, April 15th, Timeline Theater.
There you go.
Plug.
The thing that's so... It's really graphic, and it's strange. I mean, it's
like sexually graphic, like lots of shit fuck dams. Like
yeah,
what?
No,
what's
no,
going
like,
on? Like cocksuckers or actual cocksuckers?
There's actual cocksucking. There's, well, not actual cocksucking. I mean, you got Barbara Robertson singing a song into a microphone that is poised ever so jauntily out of Matt DeCaro's crotch, and she's singing into this. And then the wonderfully talented Andre DeShields, who's this like... older, brilliant black man who's singing a song while he's getting pummeled from behind by this cop who has...
Pummeled? You mean not hit with a billy club?
No, I mean, with,
club,
he's
you
like,
mean like getting fucked from
getting
behind.
Fucked from behind and wow. In a really, really great costume.
Yeah.
Oh. I never thought
the
I had.
Cop
a, I never thought I had a cop
Danny.
Fetish, but let me tell you, watching that, I was like, oof.
"Who was that
but
actor?
Yeah, I mean,
had to
it
find
was like,
him for Shelter
was,
City."
Right? It was one of those things, like, but the whole production was just big, broad strokes, and it was something that you see of in all these smaller theater companies around Chicago, but you never see something like that on that scale at the Goodman.
Right.
And I think it was really great and really, really brave of them. I mean, Goodman's going to lose some subscribers over this one.
Sure.
You know, but I think that it really kind of was exploring this play, which is a weird play to begin
Absolutely.
With.
Absolutely.
You know, just to kind of really, really fully realize it and make it as big, and it felt operatic. Mm. I mean, it was just huge. It's, mm-hmm. it's a huge play.
Mm-hmm.
The performances are fantastic across the board. There isn't anything that is really... People use the word gratuitous, and I don't know if it's gratuitously sexual or violent, but...
That's probably subjective.
It
like,
is subjective,
for you,
I
it's
think.
Not going to be gratuitous.
To me, it was like, everything was motivated.
People who are going to... drop their subscriptions, they're going to think it was pornographic,
yeah, but
it was
also,
gratuitous.
The people that leave are also about 75 years old.
Yeah.
And talking back, and it's really kind of great.
Yeah.
You kind of switch focus to them, watching them have this thing.
Yeah.
While some weird image is happening. It's really beautiful. I highly recommend it. If you do get a chance to go see it, go. Because it's messed up.
It sounds really amazing. I wish I was going to get to see it, but I don't think I'm going to get to see it. The other thing everybody's talking about is Rick Bayless's show where he's cooking.
I would punch a nun. I would punch
and,
a nun to go and see that thing because I love Rick Bayless.
Yeah.
I would eat his food.
Well, the Sun Times gave it a highly recommended. It's $200 to $250 ticket.
And that
so,
is why
and that's
I am
food.
Not going because I do not have that money.
But it sounds like it's going to be an interesting, interesting ride. Well, look, we've got an interesting ride. Scott and I are going to talk all about television, one of our favorite
yes.
things in the whole wide world.
TV
so,
whores.
We got to tell you what's going on else in the theater, what's going on in the news. And a little movie review from Richard Knight Jr. of a big movie everybody's talking about. So back with Scotty D after this.
First you train, then you triumph. Join the Team to End AIDS endurance training program and in a few months complete a marathon, half marathon, or a triathlon. Every 9.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. is infected with HIV. Change the story by supporting the AIDS Foundation of Chicago as they prepare you to go the distance in your event. Inspiring fitness, lasting friendships, saving lives. That's the Team to End AIDS. Register today at teamtoendaids.com.
I'm Cliff Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Weekend News. In Indiana, the South Bend City Council approved an LGBT rights ordinance. The measure, approved 6-3, will extend employment and housing anti-discrimination protections to cover sexual orientation and gender identity. The ordinance, which goes into effect April 6th, excludes churches and other religious organizations, but opponents argue it should also exempt people and business owners who believe homosexuality is immoral.
In California, an immigration judge delayed the deportation of undocumented Mexican immigrant Alfonso Garcia, who wed his U.S. citizen partner, Brian Wilmingham, in New York, where same-sex unions are recognized. Garcia, age 35, and Wilmingham, age 37, said they had been together for almost a decade. The judge has scheduled a new hearing on October 23rd, giving Garcia time to complete required immigration-related procedures.
In Vermont, the country's oldest private military academy is holding its first Gay Pride Week. Norwich University's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, Questioning, and Allies Club held its first meeting in September, hours after the end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, the organization is planning a week of events highlighted by Norwich's first queer prom, where Vermont governor will be the keynote speaker.
Former President Jimmy Carter discusses homosexuality in his new book, NIV, Lessons from Life Bible, Reflections with Jimmy Carter. In the book, Carter writes, homosexuality was well known in the ancient world well before Christ was born, and Jesus never said a word about homosexuality. In all of his teachings about multiple things, he never said that gay people should be condemned. I personally think it is very fine for gay people to be married in civil ceremonies.
In Ohio, Judge Donald Cox granted a divorce to a gay couple, Jonathan Baize and Stephen Wissman, who married in New York last year. Ohio does not recognize marriage equality. Voters approved an amendment that banned same-sex marriage and civil unions in the state in 2004. The anti-gay group Ohio Campaign to Protect Marriage had filed a legal brief in the case, saying that by granting a divorce, it would acknowledge the two men were legally married.
Retiring New Hampshire Bishop Gene Robinson, who is openly gay, may have a gay replacement. Dr. William Warwick Rich, a partnered bishop living in Boston, has been mentioned as a potential replacement for Robinson. Rich began to come out at the end of college in 1992 and officiated a same-sex wedding.
The United States Supreme Court has denied the appeal of John Lotter, who was on Nebraska's death row for killing transgender man Brandon Tina as part of a 1993 triple murder depicted in the movie Boys Don't Cry. Lotter and Marvin Nissen were convicted of raping and murdering Tina, and they killed two witnesses to Tina's murder, Philip Devine and Lisa Lambert. Nissen has said he actually murdered the three by himself. The courts say that they both are culpable.
According to a study initially revealed in Discovery News, dolphins were found to engage in extensive bisexuality combined with periods of exclusive homosexuality. Same-sex relations in the animal kingdom are apparently quite common.
In Philadelphia, United States District Judge Ronald Buckwalter ruled that the Boy Scouts of America can recoup nearly $900,000 in legal fees for beating a city's eviction attempt because of the group's ban on gay members. Although the Scouts had been using a building rent-free since 1929, the city demanded rent in 2003 unless the group stopped discriminating against openly gay men. The group sued the city, and the jury sided with the Scouts, saying Philadelphia violated the First Amendment. The city moved to overturn the verdict or have a new trial, but Buckwalter refused.
In Alabama, the Tuscaloosa school system will now allow same-sex couples to go to the prom. Actions taken by the Southern Poverty Law Center to support some same-sex students resulted in the school system's policy change.
In Chicago, Sweet Misgivings, the bakery slash jobs program affiliated with HIV/AIDS Agency Chicago House, is going national. This development means that local operations had to cease. The retail location at the Loop's French Market has closed, and the wholesale and catering business has ended.
The Out NYC Hotel is the first boutique hotel specifically designed to cater to New York City's LGBT tourists. The hotel, not far from Times Square and Broadway, also hopes to cater to the friends and families of its gay clients. The Out NYC has a wellness center, three courtyards, a sunbathing deck, event spaces, and a nightclub called XL.
In world news, in the wake of St. Petersburg passing a law against so-called gay propaganda, the Russian government is considering a similar measure. Russia's lower house of parliament is mulling a bill that would call for fines up to 500,000 rubles, or about $16,500, for spreading homosexual propaganda among minors. Pro-LGBT advocates say the legislation could be used to prohibit public demonstrations. Russia decriminalized homosexuality in 1993.
Jenna Talikova will not be competing for this year's Miss Universe Canada crown because she was born male. Talikova, age 23, underwent gender reassignment surgery at the age of 19.
In Canada, 19-year-old University of Ottawa student Scott Haggart is the first openly gay athlete to tell his story for the You Can Play project that has gathered National Hockey League players to combat casual homophobia in sports. In a video posted on the organization's website, Haggart predicts the organization's new campaign will save the lives of gay teens dealing with their sexual orientation.
In Chile, prosecutors have asked for murder charges in the death of Daniel Zamudio, a gay man whose attackers savagely beat him and carved swastikas into his body. Zamudio died March 27th. The case has launched a national debate regarding hate crimes, with the president, Sebastian Pinera, pledging to pass an anti-discrimination law.
In entertainment news, Project Runway favorite Mondo Guerra was named the winner of Project Runway All-Stars March 22nd with his collection Therapy. Guerra, a gay man who came out as HIV positive during his first appearance on the show in season 8, received a cash prize of $100,000 as well as a year-long guest editorship at Marie Claire magazine.
Actor Tom Hardy of Inception may replace Mickey Rourke in a movie about openly gay rugby superstar Gareth Thomas. Rourke, age 59, has decided he's too old to portray Thomas and found the training too intense. The film is expected to begin shooting this spring.
Bully, the award-winning documentary about the epidemic of school bullying in the United States, will open in theaters March 30th as Unrated. The development occurred after nearly 500,000 people signed an online petition at change.org demanding that the MPAA remove the R rating initially given to the movie by the ratings board.
Lesbian tennis icon Martina Navratilova was the first celebrity bounced from ABC's Dancing with the Stars. 2 weeks of low scores were too much for the former Wimbledon champion to overcome.
A set of intimate, never-seen-before photographs of 27-year-old Marilyn Monroe are for sale after they were discovered at her late makeup artist's home. The impromptu shots show Monroe casually posing for the man behind the lens, Alan Whitey Snyder. Snyder, who did Monroe's makeup for 16 years, took the photographs in 1953 on the set of Niagara.
Actor, drag legend Charles Bush and Cynthia Nixon are among the performers in a one-night-only benefit reading of Tom Evans' Women Behind Bars, May 7th, at New York City's Acorn Theater. Others include Rosie O'Donnell, Natasha Lyonne, Rosie Perez, Janine Garofalo, Josh Hamilton, and Jennifer Tilly. A send-up of the classic genre of 1950 women's prison movies, Women Behind Bars premiered in New York in 1974.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr. and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Having once again obstinately refused to succumb to the entreaties of family and friends, not to mention an omnipresent marketing campaign to read the damn book, I have availed myself at last of that cultural juggernaut better known as The Hunger Games. Well, the movie version anyway. Having done so, I can now report that I, too, have fallen under the spell of this expertly made movie, which takes its time to unfold, is headed by the fearless Jennifer Lawrence and Sonny Josh Hutcherson, and is that rare example of science fiction that enthralls and entertains at the same time that it's delivering its pseudo-cautionary message. But I'm disquieted by that message. More on that later, and I also have a theory as to why this series has become such a cultural touchstone. To put it rather simply, the world created by Suzanne Collins in The Hunger Games is closer to science fact rather than science fiction. It's akin to the landscape of Fahrenheit 451, 1984, Brave New World, and especially The Handmaid's Tale. These works all share that same theme of the lone individual bridling under conformity forced on society by the yoke of overwhelming political and societal oppression. All of these continue to resonate because they seem like one election, one insurrection, one conservative revolution away from happening. In a world of reality competition TV shows, the disenfranchised population aware of the huge disparity between rich and poor, but narcotized into a general malaise by junk culture, mass media, and the virtual reality of social networking, the possibility of the Louis XIV-type pampered, the wigged, and bejeweled elite of the Hunger Games trotting out 2014 representatives from the country's various districts and forcing them to partake in a televised competition to the death for their pleasure seems almost frighteningly real. Basically, this survival of the fittest theme is a throwback to the decadent Romans tossing innocent Christians to the lions dressed up in a new variation. But what an enticing variation. Gussied up with a big budget and a comely young cast that earnestly goes through its paces, Lawrence Hutcherson and the other teen actors are ably supported by some terrific adult actors like Woody Harrelson, Elizabeth Banks, Stanley Tucci, Donald Sutherland, Wes Bentley, Lenny Kravitz, etc., etc. Director Gary Ross's movie is a superb entertainment. He keeps things moving but pauses to let his leading character, 16-year-old Katniss Everdeen, grieve over her losses. They become ours too. And she grows an emotional and courageous stature. And he gives us a minimum of violent gore, a bonus, when the reality competition starts as the teens are hell-bent on killing one another. Only one can survive, it seems. Ross is greatly helped by his costumer, Judiana Markovsky, and production designer Philip Messina in creating this cruel new order. So, The Hunger Games, while a great ride of a movie, is also one wrapped around an oddly disquieting message. I couldn't help but wonder what kind of effect the lust for violence layered on top of the morality tale that is The Hunger Games would ultimately have on such a receptive audience as the one I saw it with, filled with teens and young parents with little kids. Or maybe that train has already left the station? I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Nez the Movie's Very Long Minute.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 2nd, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. On Sunday, April 15th at 5 p.m., the incomparable Cameron Carpenter brings his prodigious virtuosity to University of Chicago's Rockefeller E.M. Skinner Organ with a program including selections from his own Visions of the Organ from Space science fiction series and dazzling and unconventional arrangements of classics. For information on this free concert, visit rockefeller.uchicago.edu.
Performer Holly Hughes speaks at Remy Bumpo about art and activism in America on Saturday, April 14th, before the matinee performance of Chesapeake, a one-person comedy about a right-wing senator, the performance artist he demonizes, and a lovable dog named Lucky. Get tickets for this thought-provoking matinee event at remybumpo.org.
Main Stage presents Judy at Carnegie, a song-for-song recreation of the Judy Garland classic 1961 concert. The concert will be performed by Chicago's top cabaret vocalists. Don't miss Judy at Carnegie, April 20th and 21st. Visit mainstage.com for tickets.
The Auditorium Theater presents Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, the most celebrated modern dance company in the world, April 11th through the 15th. For tickets to Alvin Ailey, go to Ticketmaster.com.
Broadway legends Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontanne are brought to life on stage at Northlight Theater's Ten Chimneys. This revealing new take on America's greatest acting duo in their renowned Wisconsin retreat is marvelously wry and witty, says KBAQ Phoenix, and sparkling, says the Milwaukee Journal. Tickets at northlight.org.
Victory Gardens Theater presents We Are Proud to Present a Presentation, a brave, funny new play about a group of actors who lose control of their play. Direct from the festival that brought you Chad Deity, tickets at victorygardens.org. And get $15 industry tickets for previews through April 8th only. Use code INDUSTRY.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Cherry Jones, and you are listening to the Windy City Queercast.
It's so hypnotic. Yeah.
right, and we are back, Scott Deff and I, to talk about our addiction, which is...
Television.
Ugh. And we're going to try to just talk kind of gayish television, because I can talk all kinds of television.
Girl, I can do nothing but gay TV.
Like, let's just do gay TV. Okay. So here, I guess... For homegirls, we've got the Fifi O'Hara and Dita Ritz, who have been on RuPaul's Drag Race representing the Chi-Town. And
yeah, but Dita, bye-bye.
Dita, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Dita.
Dita is not that colorful yet, and I think has not evolved yet. She seems so young.
Yeah, she seems like she's still cooking. But
she's so beautiful. I think RuPaul saw Dita as kind of a mini-me. Not many.
Yes, they were tall.
But I just think tall. Like the young version of RuPaul, but I think Dita has to kind of fill that expansive
size. Yeah, I think
she's
just kind of figuring everything out. And I think how bad is this? Michelle Visage was right on the money.
Yes.
When she's talking about like sometimes that like the body's great, but the hair's messed up, or the hair and makeup's good, but the body doesn't look right. I totally agree.
And that's just a maturity thing.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
And growing into one's sense of self and as a person, you know. And I think Fifi's loving is good and clever and stirring it up and keeps her interesting. And
except for the debate thing.
Ugh, no, not good.
Oh, it kills me when people. Don't be funny. If you are not a funny person, don't be funny. Stop.
Do you have a favorite on the show?
I do.
Okay, who's your favorite?
It's Sharon. I love Sharon Needles.
Sharon
Needles is my favorite, and I hate that I'm like betraying my Chicago girls. But
no, I think it's going to come down to Sharon Needles and Chad Michaels.
Yes, I love Chad too. I think Chad is a nice person. I think
Chad
both of them are nice people.
Michaels is so refined.
Oh,
to me, Chad Michaels is.
He's gonna have to do something right over here with those little jowly things.
Because
they're a little. I'm like, oh, baby shoes. You got everything else kind of.
Oh, working. I don't know. I just think Chad Michaels is so pretty. But I love Sharon Needles too.
I love Sharon Needles.
It's gonna come down to the two.
I think so. Sharon needs to work on her padding a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I do not understand. We've made it through. How many girls have gone home and they're like now in four, but they're bringing somebody back? But
probably because they want to bring Willem back.
Oh, dear Lord. And I want to know what's going on with that. What happened?
It's like a Britney Spears train wreck.
It totally is. But we can only speculate. I want to know is why hasn't anybody said anything about Latrice Royale's Lion King-ass makeup?
Yeah.
She, like, her face is yellow. She looks like, you know, and I'm Simba. Like, watch her putting it on there. She is fucking Simba. She is Simba and, like, large Simba. But I don't know, why haven't you done anything about that makeup? The makeup is horrible.
I like Latrice.
I love Latrice too. The girls that are there, I love them. I think they're like, Fifi.
I've never really watched it, you know, and I've had people over the years go, you're not watching it, and this is my first year. And everybody said, this is not the best year, but I enjoy watching it. It's
stupid
kind of addictive.
It's stupid fun.
Now, of course, it obviously harkens me back to a show I do enjoy a lot, which is America's Next Top Model.
Oh,
and I love that we have Emery.
You wanna be on top?
Always.
I know.
but they have Emery on this. I think I'm pronouncing her name right. The very androgynous.
Hot girl.
With the head shaved into
the
back of her head, the tattoos. And she is incredible. She, to me, is in a whole other transcendental league. And if she doesn't blow everybody else away and win this whole thing, I mean, one girl said it best this past week when she was like, we should just let her have a competition with herself if she wins one more week because, seriously, like, she's, like, in a whole other league. And
did she win this week? Because I
didn't
watch it.
I'm not
going to
tell you.
You just said.
No, I did not say that. That was a precursor. I said, if she wins this week, this week meaning the one you haven't seen.
Okay.
That was
the
dialogue.
As long as you didn't spoil anything.
I'm not spoiling anything. I know your TiVo set. See,
I know.
I got the TiVo set. Anyhow, it's the Brits versus the Americans.
Which
Americans
is
are
annoying.
Kicking butt a little
it's
bit.
It's annoying.
But we're
it's
a big
annoying.
Country.
I know we're a big country, but I think it's stupid. It sets up this unnecessary, like there's already rivalry enough and those girls are hungry and mean to begin with. But now you put them into these two different camps and it's just stupid.
I think it would be more interesting, except I think that it's just the language barrier if they made it Europe versus American, because I think the European girls would kick American ass. But
I would like to see some of those Deutschers coming
over. But the UK is not that big. I mean, comparative to the whole United States of America. So, you know, it's like you kind of go, okay, well, why don't you make it France and Spain? and, you know, Germany. And the UK and Germany. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see how America does.
Yeah, but I don't know. But I do like that Scottish girl.
I know.
She makes me laugh. Baby and when she's shoes. Up there and she's the very first episode, like, oh, they're going to have to subtitle me or whatever. That was really bad. Yeah. I don't know what that was. That wasn't Scottish.
It's totally okay. I was with you. I was with you. So, you know, Glee has been on a little bit of a hiatus, and you don't watch the Glee.
No,
so I'm just going to, you don't even have to talk about it, but I just want to say that Whoopi.
I will give my opinion.
Whoopi and Lindsay Lohan, are both going to be on Glee.
What? Here.
So they have had like some major people this year with Ricky Martin, with Nene, with, am I saying that right?
Nene.
Oh,
Nene.
I don't watch
it. Isn't that the drag term for having sex? We had Nene.
I don't know.
That's Kai Kai.
That could be your nipples, your nay-nays. I don't know.
Well, girl, it's Nene Leakes.
Oh, anyhow, Nene, who was great on it, and Ricky Martin, who is so gorgeous and Ricky Martin-ish on it. So now they're going to have Whoopi, and they're going to have Lindsay Lohan. I have no clue what Lindsay Lohan's going to do, but I'm glad that maybe she's doing a little better these days.
Yeah.
I thought she did
a pretty good job on SNL. Her face was weird.
Yeah.
Let's just get that out of the way.
She didn't get the stuff done in at least 7 days before you have to have a camera appearance.
Yeah, no. It was, oof.
Well, speaking of Saturday Night Live, the very, very big news this in the past week is that they are going to have their first, I think, maybe I'm wrong, you can tell me, their first openly gay cast member, Kate McKinnon, who if you ever watched the wonderful big gay sketch show on Logo, and our good co-host Coleman Domingo was on for a couple years. Kate McKinnon has just been supposedly cast on Saturday Night Live. She will start on the April 7th show, which is when
breaking news.
Sofia Vergara is going to be on.
Oh.
And if you don't know who Kate is, she's blonde. She's very feminine and blonde and cute, but she played the little boy, I want to have a vagina. And she did the whole, like the little, like almost like the little Dutch boy on the Big A Sketch Show. She's like, I want daddy a really big pink vagina, and would carry around unicorns. And so she's playing like this little Dutch boy, and it was this character that I can't remember his name, but anyhow,
wow,
that's Kate, and she's brilliantly funny, and
that's
she's
awesome.
Openly lesbian. I don't think they've ever had an open lesbian.
Not a lesbian. I think if we go back to the 80s with Terry Sweeney,
okay,
I think was his name. It was that year that I think Robert Downey Jr. was on, and he would do Nancy Reagan.
Yes, is he gay?
Girl.
I'm
sorry. It's like...
Girl. But yeah. I don't think he was like openly gay. Like Kate McKinnon says she wants to be a lesbian comedian. Like she wants to be an out comedian. And most of those comedians, even, you know, the ones that we know that are gay out comedians, you know, will go, well, I just want to be a comedian. And I think she's really made her mark. Hopefully we'll have Coleman on and he can tell us more about it. But that's going to be a big night.
That's
April
awesome.
7th. And she's going to be on. Sofia Vergara's on. That One Direction or whatever they are. I don't know. Aren't those the Teeny Bops, the new NSYNC-y, Backstreet-y?
Oh, dear Lord, I have no idea. But that sounds like a Christian group,
it's
if you ask me.
It's crazy.
We're going in One Direction.
I know. But I'm excited. Heaven. I'm excited for her. I think that's...
That's awesome.
It has always felt so, even with the women on there, I mean, it has had this turn, right? Like in the past... I mean, slowly the dial's been turning the past decade, but I think really in these past, you know, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, Kristen Wiig,
Maya Rudolph,
there's been this turn, you know, to kind of the strength of women and their characters they create on the show and all that. And one could say, well, oh my gosh, they had it even with the Gilda Radner days and Jane Curtin, but they were treated like shit, you know, when you hear how they were treated back then.
I think they really changed in the mid to late 90s with like Molly Shannon and Anna Gosteyer and Sherry O'Terry, like that chunk, because those women would come in and, you know,
tear
like the cheerleader sketch and
the
superstar,
yes, I don't know her name.
No!
I can't help you.
But the NPR ladies.
The NPR ladies, the singing, when they would do the singing, the two singing lounge ladies.
But that was Nora Dunn.
Oh, I thought Anna Gosteyer.
Oh, wait, Anna Gosteyer, yeah, she, but They were the culps. They were the high school teachers.
Once again, can't remember.
I know. I'm not. Saturday Night Live is one of my biggest things. I love it.
You need to go see it filmed.
On it. That's what I want to do. I want to be on it.
Come up here and start getting on it. That's where they get a lot of their talent.
I know. Go to Second City.
Chi-town. The passing this week, a sad note, Adrienne Rich passed away this past week at 82. Fabulous lesbian feminist poet.
Yeah.
And the marking of Lady Gaga turned 26. 26! And she like runs the world. Like Beyonce.
So did Madonna.
Who runs the world? Lady Gaga. Gaga. Who runs the world? Lady Gaga. Gaga. It's totally true. Mm-hmm. I watched her 2-hour interview with Oprah Winfrey, and it was really, really interesting where Oprah went through her house and just talked to her, and she really has her head on her shoulders, but she's got some darkness, and she's got something to say, and she's obviously learning how to touch a nerve and do that, you know. And I think in her own way, it's like, it's interesting that a Lady Gaga, I think, exists because of an Adrienne Rich, you know, an Adrienne Rich and what she did, and the way she wrote and the things that she wrote about, and that were a part of, you know, her journalism and her storytelling and her editorial stories, you know, I think led the way for like a Lady Gaga, led the way for the Madonna, even, mm-hmm. you know, 30 years before almost, or, you know, 25 years before. So it's very, very interesting. And just the longevity of, you know, somebody like Madonna that's still pseudo relevant, mm-hmm. really relevant at, you know, in her 50s. So.
Yeah. Adrienne Rich will be missed. I remember when I was in college, at Northwestern, somebody adapted her works into this really crazy play, and it really hit me. It was the first time I was introduced to her works, and as a, you know, college student,
right?
It was just
most
really
people learn
great.
About Adrienne Rich in college.
Yeah,
I guess.
Well, it's she's because kind of, her work is a little.
Yeah, it's not like you're gonna understand it all in high school.
Right, right. And it's not necessarily what people would deem appropriate yes. to teach in high school.
Right, right, so. Right. Yeah. So I mean, I think it's all interesting that we're making the way for you know, women to have this strength and power, and I tend to think that you know, is interesting because, you know, the women's movement was the precursor to the gay movement in much mm-hmm. you know, much that way. So it just shows, you know, where we as a GLBT community are going to come. So you're now going to come to Chicago. So we got to go find you an apartment.
I know.
So we're going to go find Scott an apartment. Steven Rader, hopefully on one of the next shows. He misses all of you, and I miss him. So one of the ways we can catch up is just if we sit down and have a chat. So
and you can have a chat in my apartment because he's not taking my job.
No, of course he's not taking your job. We just add you to the mix. All right, everybody. I hope you have a good week. It's going to be hot, hot, hot. Actually, it already is, probably by the time this thing is airing. So
yeah.
Enjoy the heat.
Enjoy it.
And enjoy what is the most bizarro spring in Chicago history.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.